morning. Today's Daf Me'ilah is Daf Hey. We're still in the first parak of Me'ilah, and we're still in the first sugya of Me'ilah. We have not budged, although we're keeping up with the Daf, thanks to the size of the Daf. But we really haven't budged. We're really still talking about the first topic of the Masechta, which is Me'ilah by a Karban. Again, just to review the rules, it's pretty straightforward. Once you get the rules down, and once you hear it again and again, you really get the hang of it. The Mishnah says that when it comes to kachikachim, when it comes to anything which is put onto the level of a chatas and asham or an ola, so there will be a din me'ilah from the moment of origination, meaning the moment I'm makdish the animal, so already there's an isra me'ilah on the carbon. And the reason why is because the Torah says by me'ilah that anything that falls under the category of kachi Hashem, that once it's dedicated to God and exclusively to God, so at that point in time now they're subject to me'ilah. Now by the carbon ola, as we already discussed, so the din me'ilah, the isra me'ilah, applies throughout, meaning from the moment that you're makdish it, all the way through to the point of shechita, kabbalas adam, holacha, zrika, there's still going to be nisra me'ilah. Even after zrika sadam, there's going to be nisra me'ilah. And the reason why is because even after zrika, the animal is going to go up onto the mizbeach. Good. And when it comes to once the mitzvah is done, so there's no longer me'ilah. And also, to be more technical, also by the or, the hide of the animal. The hide of the animal obviously is no longer subject to me'ilah because the hide's going to go to the kohanim. Okay. Then we get to a chatzos and a nashim. So chatzos and nashim is a little bit different because the animal, when you are makdish the animal, is subject to me'ilah, like kachi kachim. But when it comes to a chatzos and nashim, though, once you shech the animal and accept the blood and walk the blood over and sprinkle the blood, so at that point in time now, the meat becomes permissible to be eaten by the kohanim.
Only the meat.
Only the meat of the animal. And so therefore, the meat is no longer subject to me'ilah because it no longer follows under the category of kachi Hashem. Okay. And by shlamim, which is not really our topic of discussion because we're not yet talking about shlamim, but just to simply fill out the gap, by shlamim, so the din is the exact opposite. That when I'm makdish a karban shlamim, it's not kachi Hashem yet, meaning it's a karban, and it has kedusha taguf, but it's not subject to the isra of me'ilah. When is it going to be subject to the isra of me'ilah? That's only when I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and then I shecht it, and then I'm a kabbal blood, and then I sprinkle it, and only then at that point in time now is there going to be a din, an isra of me'ilah. But not on the animal, only on the parts of the animal that are going to go up onto the mizbech, what we call the imorim. The fats of the animal, some of the organs of the animal, those are the parts of the animal now are going to be subject to me'ilah. We discussed this already for the past couple of days, I'm just reiterating, it's chazara, is that it's the shlamim is almost like the opposite, the polar opposite of chatas and asham. Chatas and asham, the zrika sadam, removes the isra me'ilah on the meat, and by shlamim, the zrika sadam introduces me'ilah onto the imurim. Okay. All that is what we discussed. Now the Mishnah took its time to discuss various scenarios where the shechita didn't go well.
For both cases, both shlamim and it's the imurim that are subject to me'ilah, right?
No. Yes, in other words, correct. In other words,
so they're both the same in terms of what aspects you can have.
In that regard, they're going to be the same. The major difference is going to be when they become subject to the Yisra Me'ilah, Chatos and Hashem V'Yasser, already from the moment you're Maktishim.
But first question, the Me'ilah for the Emurim stays all along.
Yes.
But for Shalom, it's going to just come at time of Shechita.
It'll only come at the time of Shechita, but more accurately at the time of Zrika. Because at that point in time now, it goes up onto the Mizbech. Okay. You're right. Yes, that's a good question. Is it subject to me'ilah? I saw that discussion. Well, the question is nowadays, if someone's makdish something b'zman hazeh, so they're going to be an isra of me'ilah. Where did I see it? I saw that discussion. Okay. I don't have a good source for you, but I did see somebody talk about it. Okay. And the Mishnah talks about various scenarios where I shecht it in the south, or I'm mekabel dam in the south. And the point the Mishnah made is that even though you did a bad job in terms of the avoda, and even though the kohen was uneducated and uninformed, or just simply made a mistake in terms of one of the avodas, but nevertheless, it's considered as if the avoda was done, and so therefore it will be subject to the iser of meila. Okay. If it's kachim kalam, it'll remove the iser of meila. Okay. Now, let's just leave it over there, and then we move on to the next part of the Mishnah. Now, the next part of the Mishnah is a statement by Rabbi Yoshua. Klal amar Rabbi Yoshua. Okay. We don't need to turn back to the Mishnah. So everything's written right over here. Okay, we're in the Gemara right now. We're on Dal Amud Beis. We're starting now at the two dots. Klal amar Rabbi Yoshua. Kol shayis lo shasa kosh lo kohanim. Ein mo'alam ba. V'chol lo shayis lo shasa het lo kohanim. Mo'alam ba. So Rabbi Yoshua says, here's a good rule to know. You want to know. We're talking now about a chatas. We're talking now about an asham. You want to know. Did the iser of me'ila get removed from the meat of a chatas, or get removed from the meat of an asham? So Rabbi Yoshua says it's very simple. If the carbon had a shas hakosher, if at one point in time now the meat had a moment where the kohanim were allowed to eat it, now I'm saying it simply right now, just so we get the basic idea, so at that point in time there's no longer an iser of me'ila on the meat. Even if subsequently the meat becomes disqualified for a number of reasons, and we'll give three reasons in just a moment. Even though the meat becomes disqualified, it doesn't matter. As long as there was a shas hakosher, a moment where the meat is permissible, so then... Just one second. As long as the meat becomes permissible, so then there's no longer an iser of me'ila on the meat. Now, yeah, is this by chatas? This discussion is only by chatas and by asham. Meaning it's not going to be by Ola, because Ola, the whole thing's going up onto the Mizbeach. And it's not talking about Shlamim, because the meat was never subject to Me'ila. We're only talking about the carbon where there was Me'ila, and Me'ila is going to get removed. How come Me'ila is going to be removed? Because we're talking about the Chatzas and the Nasham, where at the point of origination, I was Makdashit. It now is Kachi Hashem, and by me doing the Avodas correctly, so now it's no longer, the meat is no longer Kachi Hashem. And all you need is a shasa kosher, a moment where it was okay for the Kohanim. So, the Mishnah, we're just reading on, but this is just a review of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah gives examples. Ezu shehaita lo hashat heta lo kohanim. So what are examples of hashat heta? So the Mishnah gives three examples. Number one, shelana. Now I'm going to say the Mishnah over simply, although this is subject to a couple of interpretations, but let's say the meat stayed overnight. No, sir. But what we call no, sir. Right? So in other words, I shechted the chatas. Now chatas, when the Kohanim is supposed to eat it? That day. And they're given the following night. But that's it, though. The next morning, you wake up in the morning and the meat's not yet finished and they're leftovers. So it's not just leftovers, it's no, sir. That leftovers is prohibited to eat. And by the way, the prohibition of eating no, sir, is a serious one. It's an iser kares. So that prohibition is called no, sir. But, okay, so that meat now, is it subject to me'ila? Of course not. Because all of yesterday it had a shasa kosher. Example number two of the Mishnah is, sorry.
No, it doesn't give you answer.
Huh? We're going to get to that. Shinit meis, the meat becomes tameh. So, and we're talking about after you shechted and after you did zrikas adam, then the meat becomes tameh. Now, of course, once the meat is tameh, you're not allowed to eat the meat. Eating the meat, which is tameh, is a serious issur in the Torah. Again, another issur kares. But the point is that it's no, it had a shasa kosher. At one point in time, it was okay to be eaten by the kohanim. And finally, the third example of the Mishnah is Shiyatza, where the meat was taken out of the walls of the Azara. Remember, we're talking now about Chatzos and Asham. Chatzos and Asham have to be consumed in the Azara itself. It cannot be consumed outside the Azara. And so once it leaves the walls of the Azara, at that point in time now, it is going to be disqualified. But the point is that because it had a shasa kosher, before the meat left the walls, it was okay to have been consumed by the Kohanim, so therefore it's considered a shasa kosher, and therefore it's no longer kachay Hashem. Good. Those are the examples of the Mishnah. And Ezer Shalois Ala Shas Hetel Kohanim. And let's go over an example where there wasn't a Shas Hetel Kohanim. Shenishchata Chutzas Manav Chutzam Kamo. Something went wrong in the Shechita itself, or in the Avoda itself. While doing the Avoda, while you're trying to be Matir the Karban, something goes wrong. Like Machshavas Pigol, where there, while I'm doing the Avoda, something goes wrong. There was never a moment in time where the Kohanim were allowed to eat it. Therefore, the meat, it never loses its status of Me'ila. It continues with its status of Me'ila. Or Shekibu Pesilim V'Zarkos Dama. Or the Mishnah gives another example. Let's say, now we know anyone can shecht a karban, even a non-Kohen can shecht a karban. Fine. But now, let's go take it one step further. Let's say you have a non-Kohen doing Kabbalah Saddam. That's no good. Let's say you have a non-Kohen doing Zrika Saddam. That's also no good. And so therefore, there was never a Shas Heter L'Kohanim, because the Heter only comes from the moment that you're allowed to eat it, and you're only allowed to eat it after Zrikas Adam. So at that point in time now, the Din Me'ila maintains, it sustains for not only the Imurim of the Chatos and Hashem, but for the meat as well, for the Basar of the Chatos and Hashem. Okay. So far so good, all I did is really review. I reviewed the Mishnah, we went over the latter half of the Mishnah, and now the Gemara is going to entertain the following question. Interesting question. Interesting setup for the question. Amalei bar kapara le bar pedas. Or bar pada. Okay, however you want to do this. So, conversation between bar kapara and bar pada. Ben achosi, you are the son of my sister. So in other words, the relationship between bar kapara and bar pada was uncle nephew. Ben achosi re ma'ata shawalani lamacher bebeis hamedrash. I want to set you up. Okay, sometimes speakers do this. Okay, don't worry, not me.
There's no plans.
Right? No. There are no plans. It's not my personality. But sometimes speakers do this, and they basically have somebody in the audience prepare a question. So tomorrow, I want you to ask me the following question in Shir. He says to his nephew, And so therefore, we can have a discussion tomorrow. It can engender a little bit of conversation, and maybe we can get to the bottom of it. And I'd like to know the following. Heter shchita shaninu? O heter zrika shaninu? O heter achila shaninu? Look, we in our Mishnah, we talked about, in order for the Isser of Me'ila to go away, to be removed from a chatzit and asham, so there has to be a shas heter l'kohanim. Now, this Shas Heter L'Kohanim is created at what point? At what point precisely? So I'm going to give you three options. Now, I'm not going to give you three options. When I taught you the Mishnah, I gave you one option. Okay. But I'm going to now give you three options based on what the Gemara just suggested. Option number one. Maybe it's a Shechita. Maybe it's just simply me cutting the neck of the animal, which creates a Shas Heter L'Kohanim. Option number two. Maybe it's a Kabbalah Saddam, the receiving of the blood. Option number three. Maybe it's the Zrika. Now, I know what the Gemara said. I'm with you. Okay, what I just said it in English. Now I'm going to say it in Gemara. Okay, your three options are Shechita, Kabbalah Saddam, or Zrika. Now, first of all, how does it fit into the language of the Gemara? How does what I just said fit into the language of the Gemara? So follow me. So the Gemara says first Heter Shechita Shaninu. Okay, that fits in very well. Meaning, your first option is either I shecht. Now, the second option I gave you is Kabbalah Saddam. Now, you're not going to see that in the Gemara. The next thing you're going to see in the Gemara is Heter Zrika. Now, Heter Zrika over here means Kabbalah Saddam. Now, why do I say that so confidently? Because Rashi says it. So, I'm just following Rashi over here. And also, I say confidently because then you get to Heter Achila. So, if Heter Zrika is Zrika, what's Heter Achila? Right. So it can't they both can't be Zrika. So Heter Zrika means that which permits me to do the Zrika to do the Zrika. Okay, I'm gonna say that again. The Heter Zrika mentioned in the Gemara is that which allows me to get to the Zrika, which is Kabbalah Saddam, which is the accepting of the blood. And finally Heter Achila, well the Heter Achila of course is Zrika. And now Halacha is, of the four avodas, Halacha is like the, right, he's like, I'm trying to give an analogy, and anyone that comes to my mind right now is not worth repeating. So, in other words, but it's the oddball.
Your halacha could be eliminated.
Yeah, halacha can be done without. You could do the avoda without halacha. The other three are essential. Now, first of all, just to read that top Rashi on Hey Amud Aleph, because Rashi over here does a better job than me in terms of explaining how Heter Zrika refers to Kabbalah Sadam. Rashi writes, Afha Pisha Shachar Karoi Binintadeh Kabbalah Nami Bilo Psul. The Kabbalah has to be done without any disqualification. Became into Kibbal Karoi Heter Hutal Zrika. And once you do Kabbalah, now you're ready for Zrika. Now the Alpha Gabda Dainlo Nizrak Damo, now you haven't sprinkled the blood yet, but okay. So have a ki'ilu nizrak beheter. It's like you sprinkle the blood, the chola omid lizarik zarik dami, because Rashi employs a rule that we've seen so many times, although it's not an accepted svara. It's a svara. But it's right, it's Rabbi Shimon's svara, but it's not really an accepted svara. But just explain the Gemara over here. Anything that stands to be sprinkled is as if it's already sprinkled. The Kevin is Kaba Bekos, Garoi, Vinira Lizrika, Shavain Bami'ila. Okay. Now, so there are three options in terms of, and this is the planted question for tomorrow's Beis Medrash, although we'll discuss it here now. This is the planted question. When the Mishnah says Shasa Kosher for the Kohanim, do we mean Shechita, do we mean Kabbalah Sadam, or do we mean Zrika? Now, let's have a conversation outside the Gemara for just a moment. Why are we having these three options? Meaning, when I learned the Mishnah, when we went over the Mishnah seems to be pretty clear. Meaning, the whole point of the Mishnah is that the Kohanim have to be able to enjoy it. Now, the easiest way to say this is, when do the Kohanim enjoy the meat? When can they sit down and eat the meat? It's only after Zrikas Adam. Meaning, the Shechita is step one of the Avoda, where there are three more steps to go, or if you want to count it without a halacha, there are two more steps to go. But we all know, we all agree. In other words, there's going to be a lot of debate. But there really is no debate in terms of when the Kohanim can eat carbon. They can only eat the meat of the carbon. Chatzos only after Zrikas Adam. So really, the simplest way to say the Mishnah, before we had the planted question for tomorrow's Beis Medrash, is that it's going to be Zrika. The Mishnah has to be talking about Zrika, because that really is the time where it's heter. And the idea that there is two other considerations is a very strange idea. Right? And the consideration that, oh, when you shecht it, okay, that's now shas heter l'kohanim. Kohanim are not allowed to eat the carbon yet. And Kabbalah Sadam, okay. So, first off, let's talk about Kabbalah Sadam, because I think I can deal with that the easiest, and then we'll go back to Shechita.
Shechita Sheninu, Heter Zrika Sheninu,
Heter Achila Sheninu.
Which one are you saying right now?
Right now, I'm going over Heter Achila is the easiest one to understand.
What is that?
That means Zrika Sadam.
That means Zrika. So Heter Zrika
is Kabbalah Sadam.
It's Kabbalah Sadam.
Right.
Did you just read that?
Yeah, I read that in Rashi. Right. I read that in Rashi.
Okay.
It's fine. I'm in the classroom all day. I understand. Learning happens in stages. I'm you know, I do this for a living. It's fine. Okay. So the third position is the easiest position to understand. It really is. Now let's go over Kabbalah Sadam. After reading Rashi, you get that position as well, because what Rashi did over there is Rashi just kind of helped us swallow this idea of, oh, Kabbalah Sadam, that's really important. Why is that so important? Because we're going to subscribe to Rabbi Shimon's rule. Kol ha'omer lizarik kizarik dami. So therefore, once I do Kabbalah Sadam, it's as if I already did the Zrika. I know I didn't do it yet, but at least halachically, there's a concept out there of kol ha'omer lizarik kizarik dami. So I can even understand position number two. Position number one, Shechita. Now, it's harder to understand. Now, if I were outside the Beis HaMikdash, and we weren't talking about a karban, Shechita is all you need. Meaning that for you and me, what's the matir? The matir for you and me is Shechita. Yes. Now Ben realizes that I'm gonna walk into a brick wall. This is a dead end conversation because that's chulin. We're not talking about chulin. We're in kachem right now. We're learning about karbanos, and by karbanos shechita is simply not enough. And I'm not gonna test that theory. Meaning, of course, you need to go on from that point in time. But what maybe you could do, and again, this is now fancy footwork, and all I'm doing is just trying to explain the Gemara, and you don't have to buy into this, but I just as a suggestion, just to help us understand, maybe what you could do over here is you could say the following. Look, when I shech the carbon, so right now, the carbon is mukshar. It's edible. It's not, obviously, because I got more things I need to do. But the more things I need to do, it's not really vis-a-vis the animal, it's vis-a-vis the blood. Meaning there's Kabbalah Sadam, there's Holacha, and there's Rika Sadam. And yes, of course, it's true that you can't go back to the meat and touch that meat and eat the meat until I do Zrika Sadam. But that could be that those next stages are really blood-related. But vis-a-vis the actual animal itself, I'm done with the animal. I finished with the animal. Meaning shechita. Shechita is all I need to do vis-a-vis the animal. And I did it. I did a shechita vis-a-vis the animal. Everything after that is more associated with the blood than it is with the animal. And so maybe, and again, remember what we're trying to understand, is at what point in time does the Isser of Me'ila get removed from the animal? You see, shechita is the last thing I'm doing with the animal. So I know I'm not allowed to eat the meat yet until the blood has been sprinkled on the Mizbeach, but vis-a-vis the animal, we're done. Right? We left now the animal. We're moving now to a couple more avodas that we need to do, but that's blood avoda. That's not animal avoda. And so maybe this position, although we're not going to accept it la-halacha, but it's out there, and it's being discussed right now. Maybe that position is predicated on the fact that shechita is really the last avoda vis-a-vis the animal, and therefore the isser of me'ila gets removed at that point in time.
But in the Mishnah that we started with, right, the beginning of the Mishnah said, if shechita batzafon v'kiyot v'daron, it's still meal. It already explicitly said that. So
yeah,
shechita was permissible.
Yeah, that's a good question. In fact,
it nailed it right there.
Yeah, so that question... The Tosos on the bottom of Dalamud Beis, spilling over to Hey Amud Aleph. So he's bothered by that question. That's very good. In other words, when the Gemara is entertaining three points where the Me'ila goes away, and one of those points is Shechita. But as Ben noticed, however, in the Mishnah gives the following example where a person shechted in the north and somebody accepted the blood in the south. What do you mean? If shechita is all you need in order for Mila to go away, so why then does the Mishnah continue describing, and then Zriko, and then the Kabbalah was done in the south? Meaning, once you shech, that's it. Story over. Yeah, but I don't know if Rabbi Yeshua is necessarily disagreeing with the first part of the Mishnah. Okay. It's a good point. We're gonna move on. But it's
because we assume that once you speak, everything has to be done correct. But if you do something incorrect, then maybe perhaps.
But I assume though that this position that shechita is a matir, meaning it's a removal of me'ila, meaning that's it. What difference does it make? What happens after that point in time? Although you may be right. Maybe something afterwards can upset the shechita. Okay, now, in the Gemara now we have presented to ourselves three possibilities in terms of when the Me'ila gets removed from the Basar of the Chatas and Asham. Either when you shech the animal, when you do Kabbalah Sadam, or when you do Zrika. And then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says like this, Rav Yochanan Amar, Hetar Achila Shaninu, and did I skip? Yes, I did. Chizkiya Amar, sorry. Second line of the Amud. Top, first word in the line. Chizki Amar Heter Shechita Shaninu. Rav Yochanan Amar Heter Achila Shaninu. So of the Amoraim basically only go to the bookends. It's either when you shech, that's Chizki's position, or Rav Yochanan says, no, Heter Achila.
Who's talking? Is it Rav Yochanan him who holds what? Or are these people speaking inside the shir and saying their own opinion?
I think, and again, it gets, now you're starting to understand how choppy the Masechta gets sometimes. In other words, that discussion is pretty much over, meaning what ensued after that point in time, we don't know. Meaning, how did the conversation go in the Beis Medrash the next day? Gemara kind of leaves that open-ended, and then the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, amongst the Amoraim, we can point to two positions. One is Rav Yochanan, and the other one is Chizkiya.
So who had this Zrika then? How come Zerika is not defended by anybody?
Yeah, right, correct. In other words, Bar Kapara believed that it's worthwhile point as a that's a position.
Right, but it's interesting because somebody has to support it. Where did it come from?
Correct. Yeah, correct. It's unsupported by these Amoraim. And look, when all said and done, we're going to have to take one position, La Halacha, and as I mentioned already, Rav Yochanan, which is really the most logical position, that's the one which has accepted La Halacha, which is Zrika, which is the point where now the Kohanim can actually eat the carbon. That's the easiest position, and that's where we're going to end the discussion on. But before we end the discussion, we have to have a discussion. So Chizki Amar Heter Shechita Shaninu, Rav Yochanan Amar Heter Achila Shaninu. So right now we have the Amoraim taking two positions. One is Shechita, the other position is Zrika Sadam. Now Amar Rabbi Zera Lo Daike Masi Sin Delo Kichizki Delo Rav Yochanan. Now I guess this is where it's at. Meaning, if you look at the Mishnah, I think the Mishnah points to the middle position, the one that's not taken by anybody, the position of Kabbal Sadam. Why? Where do you see that in the Mishnah Sanan? Because the Mishnah says, let me give you examples. Here are examples of the Mishnah. Shalana, Ushenitmes, Vishiyatzas. The three examples of the Mishnah is Lina, where the meat becomes Tameh, or the meat was taken out of the Azara. Now you'll notice carefully that when I said the word Lana, I didn't see the meat was Lan, because the Gemara now is going to suggest the following. Lav, or my Lav, Delan Dun, Dum. That when we're talking about Lina, perhaps we're talking about Lina Sadam. Now, what does that mean? It's very simple. It means that you shechted the animal, you collected the blood. And then everybody just went into suspension. Okay? I don't know, game delay. Maybe it started raining. So we're rain delay, remember. There's no retractable roof over the Azara. Right? It's not the new Marlins Stadium. So no tarp. Okay, so for whatever the reason was, the blood's now in the bowl. I'm still stirring so that the blood doesn't congeal. And then we just go into a delay. And now it's a long delay. And now the sun sets. And now the blood becomes disqualified. It's Lina Sadam. And Viketani Ein Mo'al and Bo. And Mishnah says, now assuming that that's the correct shot on the Mishnah, what does the Mishnah say? The Isser of Me'ilah has been removed. Why? Because I did Kabbalah Sadam correctly.
Yeah, and it can't be referred to the meat because the meat already it's Lena.
Correct. Then it means I did Zrika Sadam.
Right.
Ushmamina, Heter Zrika Shanino. And you see that the Mishnah is pointing to where we did Heter Zrika. And don't get confused by the words. I know they're confusing. Heter Zrika over here means Kabbalah Sadam in the context of this discussion.
Could also be could be both.
It could be, but correct. But we're assuming once you have the blood, we're assuming I'm with you. But we're assuming though that Kabbalah was done successfully.
I think the meat would be burned and it wouldn't be permissible.
The assumption going in right now is that the meat hasn't yet even been nitar. The meat has not yet been permitted because all you did was just simply collect the blood. All you have done is just simply Kabbalah Sadam. So if you read the Mishnah that way, we're actually now going to be defending not the Shechita position, not the Zrika position, but rather the Kabbal Sadam, the middle position, which I guess is why Bar Kapara thought that this is a tenable position to take. So the Gemara says, Shaninu, lo, delambas. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the right Pshat on the Mishnah, but rather the correct Pshat on the Mishnah is that we're talking about Lina Sabasar, not Lina Sadam. What we call in our parlance, Nosar. So that means now that if we're talking about Nosar, that means that the blood was collected and sprinkled, and so now the Shas Heter we're talking about is where the Kohanim were allowed to eat the meat. And this is what's called Shas Heter LeKohanim, and that is why the Isser of Mila goes away from the meat. Avaldam is Darek, Mishum Hachi Ketani, I'm sorry, Avaldam is Darek, but the blood has already been sprinkled. And Mishum Hachi Ketani and Ma'alim Bo. Okay, good. That's the Pshat in the Mishnah, and so therefore that Pshat would defend, of course, the position of Rabbi Yochanan, which is, of course, is the accepted halachic position. Tanan. Let's do this again. And we're going to do this now with the next part of the Mishnah. Ezu shelo ha'isal ha'shas ha'kosha. Now the Mishnah goes over examples which are not considered shas heter lekohanim. And they are shenishcha techutz lezmanu v'chutzim kama v'shkiba psulin v'zarku es dama. Now the examples are machshavas pigol, chutz lezmanu, chutzim kama, or where I had a non-kohen do kabbalah and Zrika. Now, it's a simple question, really, when you think about it. The Mishnah is talking about where a non-Kohen did the Kabbalah and a non-Kohen did the Zrika. Now, people, if the non-Kohen already did the Kabbalah, isn't the story now over? Right, game over. Right. At that point in time now, the carbon's puzzle. So why is the Mishnah now continuing and saying, and oh, by the way, just to add insult to injury, not only did he receive the blood, he also sprinkled the blood as well. But people, I mean, once he received the blood... Okay, good. Oh, yeah. 1 second, because that's where we're going. Excuse me. So why would the Mishnah... The Mishnah seems to be just a little verbose. He accepted the blood, it's already disqualified. So why the Mishnah now giving us an additional, oh, and he sprinkled it as well. So hey chidam ilim dezarku psulim vekablu psulim lamali adi ikatarte. Why do I need both? Ella, so the Gemara says lav dekablu psulim vizarku ksherim. Now it's a little bit questionable over here what the correct girsa of this line of Gemara is. I read the Gemara as we have it. That's the way Rashi seems to have read it as well. Tosos has a totally different reading of the Gemara. Okay, but basically the point is like this. What we'll do is like we're basically filled in. We'll take the Mishnah, we'll separate it. It'll be basically or. Right? Maybe a puzzle accepted the blood and then handed over to a kusher so he could do Zrika. Or a kusher accepted the blood, a Kohen accepted the blood, and handed it off to a non-Kohen to do the Zrika. Either way, the point is the Ketani Mo'al and Bo. The point is that there's a Din Me'ilash Ma'amina, Hetu Zrika Shaninu. And again, this would be another support, seemingly, that Hetu Zrika Shaninu, that all I need is Kabbalah Sadam to be done correctly, and that's all you need. And again, another support for this middle position, the one that's not taken either by Chizki or by Rav Yochanan, that once you have Kabbalah Sadam, which is done correctly, Me'ila goes away from the meat. So Maskala Rav Yosef Isagadachi Lufluge Hachiadinan Hasam. So the Gemara says, look, it's a good question. It's not even a bad answer. But let me ask you this, though. When we learned Mishnah Zvachim, now, I'm not expecting you to remember. I didn't remember before reviewing the Gemara yesterday. Shame on me. But if we learned a Mishnah together in Zvachim, which used the exact same language, the non-Kohen accepted the blood and the non-Kohen sprinkled the blood, and you remember how we handled that over there? So let's review. Before we go over this Mishnah in Zvachim, let's remind each other. There's an interesting halacha about having blood spill on you while you're doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Do you remember the dam chatas, blood of a carbon chatas, where you haven't yet sprinkled the blood yet. And while working the dam chatas, so you get a little bit of the blood on your baggage. We're talking about the Kohen and his big day kahuna. There's a special halacha of kibus, where you have to launder the clothing, but I mean, I'm sure they always launder the clothing, but kibus in the azara. You have to launder the clothing in the azara itself, so that the blood does not get taken out of the azara, even though the blood is absorbed in the clothing. Okay, special halacha. And this halacha of kibus is only A, if the blood is coming from a chatas, which is kasher, and B, if you haven't yet sprinkled the blood. If the blood sprinkles on your clothing after Zrikas Adam, then there's no special requirement of kibbutz in the Azara.
Concern is basically me, but
quasi. We tried to give an explanation in terms of this halacha, try to understand it better. I'm not sure. Right now, just for the time being, let's just simply say it's a special halacha of kibbutz.
Do they have never ever any spots on them? In general.
I mean, doing the avoda is messy work.
Yeah.
You're right. correct. On Pesach, the Gemara describes how they were up to their ankles in blood.
Right.
So I'd venture to say that their clothing got a little dirty. I mean, I know the butcher, you know, sometimes has a nice white...
Yeah.
Right. But by the end of the day, though, you know, it's... Right. The apron is filthy. So chatos psul ein dama tan kibbutz bein. Okay, so here's the Mishnah basically telling us that once the chatos has been puzzled, So then there's no requirement of kibbutz. So chatas psulein damatan kibbutz. So kebein shaisal hashasa kosher v'nifsala ubein shalo haisal hashasa kosher v'nifsala. Now here, regarding this halacha, it doesn't make a difference whether the blood was disqualified or not disqualified. The point is that it does not need kibbutz. So ezu shaisal hashasa kosher. But as long as we're making that distinction, even though vis-a-vis the halacha of laundering, it doesn't make a difference. But as long as the Mishnah mentioned it, the Mishnah gives examples, and these examples are going to sound very familiar. Ezu ezehi shaisal hashasa kosher v'nifzala shalana v'shenit meis oshiyatsa. The classics which we've been discussing, where there was lina, where there was tuma, or the meat was taken out. Ezi shlaisa shasa kosher, and what are examples where it never had a shasa kosher? Shenishcha techutzim koma vechutzas mana, or if you'd like to flip that, v'shekibla psulim v'zarku es dama. Or you had a non-kohen doing Kabbalah and or zrika. Right now, let's say and. You had a non-kohen do Kabbalah and zrika. Now, it's the same exact formulaic language there as it is here. Now let's see if that works over there. Meaning, heichidam ilem dekablu psulim v'zarku psulim v'huadin damataun kivus hakablu v'zarku ksherin damataun kivus kari asher yazem midama. You see there, once zrikas adam is done by a kasher, by a kohen, so then there's no requirement of kibbutz whatsoever. So there, you can't even understand that when it said zrika over there, it meant literally zrika, because we know that in the world of kibbutz, in the world of laundering, once zrika is done, you no longer need to do kibbutz. So even the word zrika over there is not to be taken literally. V'lo shekvar huza, ela lav dafka. So when I read that Mishnah over there in Zvachim, what did we do with that extra language? We lived with it. Meaning, the Mishnah mentioned that the non-Kohen also did Zrika, but we know we're not supposed to take that literally. So Hachinami, we turn the page, we're on the top of Hamid Beis, Lav Dafka, here also. Meaning, it just, right, it flows together. Right, and we find, I can give you a lot of examples, just, we'll move on right now. But sometimes the Mishnah uses language which is a little superfluous, but it just flows together. A non-Kohen did Kabbalah, a non-Kohen, and he did Zrika as well. And we're supposed to take that so literally? No, you're not supposed to take it so literally. The main point is that you had a non-Kohen do the Kabbalah. So Amar Avasi, Imkein Lamali, Lemisne Tarte. So the Gemara, I'm sorry, Hachanami Lav Dafka. So Amar Avasi, Imkein Lamali, Lemisne Tarte. So the Gemara says, so, but still, I'm not buying it, because then why did the Mishnah need to write it? If it's just there for extra language, it just doesn't sound so good. So he disagrees. He says that when we have the Mishnah Mi'ila, it's meant literally. V'akamash malan, the psul ose shirayim. Afagav, the kiba psul v'zarak, the kiba kasher v'zarak, lav klum hi. My time of the shirayim, ninhu. So the Gemara says, you know what, by Mi'ila, the language over here is written very specifically, where I had a non-Kohen do the Kabbalah Saddam, and I had a non-Kohen do the Zrika Saddam, because our Mishnah Mila wanted to make another point. Tangential point, not really related to Shasa Kosher versus not Shasa Kosher, but I want to make another point altogether. Now, in order to understand this tangential point, we're just going to do this quickly, because it really is tangential. It's not our main discussion. What is exactly the tangential point of our Mishnah? Look, I shech the carbon. So what's my chief goal right now? Collect the blood, and take that blood, and walk it over to the mizbech and sprinkle onto the mizbech. Okay, now right I think I took off one day in Croesus, right? Is that what I did?
Yeah.
Okay, I took off one day. So in Croesus, I took off the one day. So Stuart filled in again. Thanks. And that day we learned about the different types of blood that come out of animal. Dam hanefesh, dam tamtzis. Now, when you do Zrikas Adam, you can only do it with Dam HaNefesh, only with that first gush of blood that comes out. Okay. Now, if a Kohen were to sit there with the bowl and allow the first gush of blood to come out, the Dam HaNefesh, and he collects that blood, and then he starts walking over to the Mizbeach, any other blood that comes out is now
Shirayim.
Okay. And in the world of Karban, that's not good. I know when you're sitting by the Rebbe, It's like there's nothing better than shirayim. I know you don't know what I'm talking about. It's a different world. So, but I'll explain after. So, but when you but by a carbon, that's not good. In fact, it's exactly what you don't. Well, it's not that you don't want it. It just is. Then the blood that any blood that comes out afterwards is leftover blood and cannot be used for Zrikat Saddam. Okay. What if, let's say, the first gush, you miss that first gush of blood that comes out? In other words, it spills right to the floor, but there's still more blood coming out. That's not yet Shirayim. That you can collect. And that you can bring over now to the Mizbeach. Because it's still Dama Nefesh. And there hasn't been a collection yet done. Okay, now, our Mishnah is making a tangential point, but the tangential point basically goes like this. What if I have Kabbalah being done by somebody who's not a Kohen? Right. What if I have Kabbalah being done by a non-Kohen? Does he create this halacha of Shirayim? Does he now make it so that any other blood that comes out of the neck of the animal be classified as Shirayim? So you hear the argument. The argument would be no, because his Kabbalah is not a Kabbalah. A Kabbalah is only when it's done by a recognized Kabbalah specialist, otherwise known as a Kohen. You cannot take that out of context. Right. But if it's done by somebody who's not qualified to do Kabbalah, so then you could very simply argue that wasn't Kabbalah. And so therefore the next that comes out is not Shirayim. Meaning, because Shirayim is only leftovers. But this isn't leftovers. The Kabbalah wasn't done. And I know he informed what he did look like Kabbalah, but he's not a Kohen. He can't do that. Okay. So, to that the Gemara says, that's the point of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is making a tangential point, which is Afagav the Kiba Apostle Vazarak, the Kiba Kasher Vazarak, Lav Klumhi, my Taima, the Shirayim Ninu. So let's have the Apostle doing Kabbalah, and the non Kohen doing Kabbalah, and then immediately afterwards comes a Kohen with a second cup, and he does Kabbalah. We say to the second Kohen, look, I'm really sorry. That's Shirayim, that's not Kabbalah Saddam.
So Me'ila stays.
And but this is a tangential point. This is no longer really a halacha in Me'ilah. This is a halacha in Shirayim. It's a tangential point that the Mishnah is trying to make by using the double language. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, now, wait a second, because as I mentioned in the beginning of this discussion, that doesn't make sense. Meaning, how can you call that non-Kohen doing Kabbalah, how can you call that Kabbalah? He's not a person that could do Kabbalah. So, V'habamine Rishlakshim Rav Yochanan, Pasum HaShiyasu Shirayim. And in fact, there was a discussion between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, and Reish Lakish asks his brother-in-law, does a pasul who collects blood, does he render the next blood that comes out of the animal Shirayim? Va'amarle, and Rav Yochanan's answer to Reish Lakish is very clear. Ein lecha davar shiyasu shirayim ela chutzas man v'chutzam komo. Hol meratzen lepigulin. And Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, he doesn't make Shirayim. He can't do Kabbalah. He's not a person who is recognized as a... as a Kabbalist. Oh, I couldn't resist. I just couldn't resist. He's not a recognized Kabbalist. So he can't make the remaining blood Shirayim. I'll tell you when it can happen. It can happen when, let's say, there was Kabbalah done, and the Kohen who did it had a Machshavas Pigul, but Meratzel LePigulim. But as we've mentioned time and again, even though what he's about to do is wrong, i.e. pigol, but at least, in other words, it is a legally recognized act of pigol. And in fact, we know that because in order for pigol to occur, you need to move on to the next step, which is Zrikat Saddam. So there we're going to say that Kabbalah is Kabbalah. But if I have a non-Kohen doing Kabbalah, that's zero. That's nothing. It's as if the blood just simply went from the neck of the animal down to the floor of the Mikdash. So my love. And so when Rav Yochanan gives such a definitive answer, and he says that's not Kabbalah, so then it would now seem that our conclusion that we learned from our Mishnah Me'ilah is totally wrong. Because we said that our Mishnah is trying to teach us that if an apostle does Kabbalah, That is considered Kabbalah, and the next blood that comes out of the animal is considered Shirayim. So, my la bar mi psul, lo afil psul, the ha ein lecha katani, the Gemara says, yeah, but Rav Yochanan's answer, read it again. It's very definitive. Ein lecha. There is no other time where a unacceptable Kabbalah is considered Kabbalah unless it's pigul. Meaning, if there's another form of unacceptable Kabbalah, i.e. where a apostle's doing the Kabbalah, it's just simply not good. Hachi kamar. So we're going to tweak his statement a little bit. Ein lecha davar she'eino meratzeh b'tzibur v'osi shirayim ela chutz l'zman v'chutzim kama. Aval tamid di'isa b'tzibur mashri shirayim shar psulim d'lo isa b'tzibur lo mashri shirayim. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what we'll do. We will... We're going to just tweak his statement just a little bit. You know, I can envision a scenario where, yes, I'll have somebody who's unfit to do the Kabbalah, and we're still going to call his Kabbalah a Kabbalah. What would be the scenario? Somebody who's Tamei. A Kohen who's Tamei. Now, a Kohen who's Tamei, should he be doing the Avodah? Of course not. He has no business being in the Beis HaMikdash to begin with. But we do know this, though. There are certain times where Tamei can do the avoda, notably when most of the community are Tamei. So then you have a heter for Tamei people doing the avoda. So although in a scenario where you don't have this heter, but at least it's out there, at least conceptually you can have a Tamei person doing Kabbalah. So if I have a Tamei person who in of himself is puzzle, but if he does Kabbalah, it's recognized, the next blood that comes out is Shirayim. But if I have a non-Kohen doing Kabbalah, that's nothing. That's zero. The next blood that comes out is not Shirayim. It's
with the potential. The first has the potential.
Correct. And then what we're now going to say is that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Our Mishnah is talking, saying that it's a Pasul. Our Mishnah is talking about a Tamei. And it's just a tangential point. I know I sounded like I was diminishing it. It's important. But it's a tangential point to our larger discussion. We're talking about Me'ilah. But why does the Mishnah use the verbose language of Kibol Pasul's Dama, Vizarek Pasul's Dama? So the Mishnah wanted to make the tangential point that if I have a Pasul accepting the blood, and now we're going to limit the definition of Pasul for this discussion. Pasul over here means somebody who's Tamei. If he accepts the blood, any more blood that comes out is Shirayim. That's the tangential point that our Mishnah is making.
A Tamei Kohen
only. And it can only be, and the whole discussion is limited to a Tamei Kohen. Okay. Now that we're finished with the tangent, let's remind ourselves, how did the day start, and how is the day going to end? Well, the day is ending today with Shabbos. But how did the daf start, and how did the daf end? So the daf started with a very simple question. We know that when you sprinkle the blood of the chata, so Me'ilah goes away from the basar. It leaves the basar. The reason being, because it now had a shas heter l'kohan. And the Gemara offered three possible explanations of when that shas heter is. It's either when I shecht the carbon chatas, when I collect the blood of the carbon chatas, or when I sprinkle the blood of the carbon chatas. Bar Kapara asks Bar Pada to have that as the discussion item for tomorrow's daf. For tomorrow's shiur, Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan argue over this issue. Chizkiah says it's shechita. Rabbi Yochanan says it is zrikas adam. And let's just do three more lines of Gemara to finish off the daf, and we continue with this discussion tomorrow as well. Tashma. Hapigol olam olam ba. Pigol, there's always going to be meila. Meaning, if while doing the avoda you're mefagel, so there's always going to be subject to Me'ilah. Meaning, because, and again, we're talking obviously about a Chatzis and an Asham, where it already was Me'ilah. And because you're Mefagel, and because you didn't do the Matir correctly, so now there's no Shas Hetel Kohanim, and therefore Me'ilah remains. Now, Lav Delo Zarak, Ushma Mina Hetas Zrika Shaninu. So again, the Gemara now, as a suggestion, says, are we talking about where you didn't do Zrika? Lo Zarka. So the Gemara says, no, you did Zrika, meaning, and you did Zrika with a Machshava Pigol. Umay la'ola ma'kabash malan kidrav gidol damar av gidol amarav Zrika's Pigol ein amotzi midei me'ila ve'ein amevi lidei me'ila. And then what would be the point? The point is to remind us what we learned yesterday, which is the halacha of Gidol Marav. Rav Gidol Marav says, when does pigle create this? No shas hetel kohanim, when you had major league pigle, right? That was my terminology of yesterday. Major league pigle means I had pigle not only when I shechted the animal, but I had pigle when I did zrika as well, where now there literally is no shas hetel kohanim, and so therefore the mi'ila remains from before to after.
Or you do it only when you have zrika.
Agreed. Agreed. Okay, so good. So again, that was another attempt to resolve the issue. The issue still remains unresolved. Tomorrow, we continue the discussion for another Amud, and then we move on to the second Mishnah of Me'ilah. Oh, for Krisis.